We'd like to acknowledge that we are working on the land of the Awabakal Nation, pay our respects to the elders, past and present. We also want to acknowledge God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mirambina Kawiti Baji Yantin Telawalanurunga Waji Jugul Kuri Guru Maris Torres Strait Islander Kuyong said, welcome friends, come here all of you, sit down and listen as we speak the truth about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people here on a Awabakal country. Thank you for joining us tonight. This is Mirama for Life. I'm Auntie Donna and so glad to have your company. We'll have some great music tonight. A lot of it's coming from Gavin Chatelier and his album How Great Is God. And we have a special guest, a beautiful young lady. We have Tanika Moran. So don't go away. Let's start with Gavin and his song, Come Let Us Praise the Lord.
Come praise the Lord, for He is good. Come join in love and brotherhood. We'll hear the word and follow Him in His great plan. And we'll be blessed to do His will. So let's pray together. Pray with one mighty voice and let us sing together, pray and we'll rejoice. When strangers reach out for your hand, respond to them and understand. We'll rise as one to calm the storm outside the gate. With faith in Him, we'll never leave. So let us pray together. Pray with one mighty voice. And let us sing together. Pray and
We'll rejoice.
The love of God is on our side.
Love is on our side.
We have the strength to move the tide.
We'll move the tide.
And when we trust Him, there'll be peace and love for all. And we will hear our brother's call. So let us pray together, pray with one mighty voice, and let us sing together, pray and
that's a great song to open up our program, Praise the Lord. We have been featuring the Badayula Bible College with their translation. Well, it's Naralinga Bible College, and the translation of the easy-to-read English version of the Bible, and they've worked with several elders to translate a lot of the New Testament. So we encourage you to donate and buy one Bible at least to help community so that they can read the word in English. Let's have a listen to some of the information that's been provided by the Bible League.
Here's Hilton Edwards and Olivia from Wycliffe Bible Translators.
Yeah, so it was quite cool to start seeing it in chapel and in class, and see the students using words that they use day to day, but see it in the Bible as well. And rather than using big words like Pharisees or chief priests or things like that, there were actually words that are relevant to their day-to-day life. So yeah, we were using it to read through the Bible. Maybe we'd even do some language activities using the Bible as well, but it was language that was relevant, not complex.
Your $20 gives a plain English version of the Bible to an Indigenous Australian today.
Here we are, folks. Stay tuned. We've got a great interview coming up, and my absolute delight to introduce Tanika Moran, and she's grown up here in Newcastle. So hello, Tanika. Thank you for your time tonight.
Hello, Annie Dunner, and hello, everyone that has tuned in.
Thank you
for the invitation, Annie.
That's my pleasure. So glad to have met you about 2 weeks ago, and I heard your exciting news. So let's just go back. Tell the listeners, where's your family from?
So my family are from Annawan. That's the New South Wales, Northern Tablelands in New South Wales. Yeah, and that's on my mum's mother's side, and my mother's father's side is from Dungaddy and Warramai.
Yes, and your mum is Karen, and I know your grandma, Auntie Zelma Moran, and Auntie Zelma was there at the very beginning of setting up the Awabakal Co-op alongside of Uncle Bill and Bob Smith and Jimmy Wright, and a few other people were involved. So, you know, and we always admired Auntie Zelma. She spoke, you know, she said, you know, she called a spade a spade. And
yeah.
Also a strong Aboriginal woman. And she was playing hockey well into her 70s, if not 80s. Has Nanny stopped playing hockey?
Yes, Nan has retired. My grandmother, I think she's about, was it 80? I think she's 85, 86.
Right. Yep.
But yeah, my grandmother started playing when she was 13, back up in Armidale. And she was also the first health worker in Newcastle.
That's right.
She
encouraged other young ones to get involved in nursing, Soretta Fielding and quite a few others. Well,
yeah.
Tanika, did you grow up in Toronto?
Yes, I did. My mum kept us, me and my siblings, I've got two brothers, kept us all very close to our grandparents. And, like, I've got very strong leaders in my family. My mum, my mum's always worked in business sides. And also my grandmother, like, she was always in with the community leaderboards. So yeah, and so I become a leader for the youth.
Yes.
Going back a few years ago now, Annie Donna. But so I've always had that skills and knowledge to be a leader for my youth.
That's wonderful. And yes, I remember on one of our school camps, there was some teenage girls and, you know, they were just mucking around a bit and you just stood up and you said, "Hey, you mob, listen to Sandy Donna, you know, show a bit of respect," and you just dress them down and they just stopped and they listened. So you certainly have got that leadership characteristics, and, you know, I always admired you for doing that. They were your peers, and you know, that's what we need in leadership, people to be decisive and to speak up and just command that presence in a room. So I love you very much. So tell us a little bit about the sort of work you've been doing up till now.
Yeah, So, I was the chairperson of the New South Wales Aboriginal Justice Advisory Network. I held that position for 3 years. And I was doing a bit of training. Cookery commercial, cert 3 and 4. But then I got sick. I was diagnosed with Bell palsy, and I got hit very hard with the Bell palsy. Then 27 days later, with so much pressure from the Bell palsy, I end up having a major heart attack. So I gave myself a bit of a break, and now I'm doing my diploma in photography and digital image, where I want to become a photographer in fine arts, because I see the world through the lens of my camera. But it's all through God's work. God's got me on a whole different path, Auntie Donna, and I am so blessed that I am still alive today, and I'm so thankful that every day that I get to wake up and spend the time with my family, all my loved ones, and to keep on pushing to do God's work on earth.
Wow, that is amazing. We're going to talk more about your photography and your Christian journey. So let's just play this song, and we'll hear another message from Bada Yula, and we'll be right back. Don't go away, folks. We're speaking with the lovely Tanika Moran.
Whenever God shines light on me, opens up my eyes so I can see. When I look up in the darkest night, and I know everything's gonna be alright. In deep confusion, great despair, when I reach out for Him, He's there. When I am lonely as I can be, and I know that God will shine light on me, reach out for Him, He'll be there. With Him your troubles you can share, and if you live the life you love, you'll get the blessings from above. He heals the sick, and He heals the lame, says you can do it too, in Jesus' name. Yes, He'll lift you up, turn you around, and put your feet back on higher ground.
Here's Hilton Edwards and Rob, an Outback evangelist working with Indigenous communities.
I tested PEV in a few Aboriginal communities from South Coast, New South Wales, all the way across to just outside of Perth. And they all said the same thing. They said, oh, yeah, we like this. So this is clear. And that clarity, that's worth a lot of pain and effort and money to achieve, because we don't want to cloud out the gospel for people. And I think PEV's got a massive role to play in helping open up the gospel clearly to people.
Your $20 gives a plain English version of the Bible to an Indigenous Australian today.
Well, you're listening to Miramar for Life, and we have Tanika on the line. Tanika, tell us about this photography course. What's some of the modules that you learn?
So it's just more about the technique with the camera. It also teaches you, like, with your lighting skills. It opens up so many doors as a photographer. It brings you out in so many. It just, if you have got the eye for photography, I recommend it. I just, like, it's the only way I can express myself.
Yep.
When I was diagnosed with Bell palsy, I had a lot of trouble seeing out of my eye. But I've got one good eye, and I can't really talk properly. I do have a lot of issues trying to have conversations, express my feelings and that. So, yeah, that's where God has got me on this path with photography, and it's just that it's the only way I can express myself, Arnie, and I love the course. I'm actually doing it in at Hunter Street, TAFE.
Yes.
Yeah, and you meet so many beautiful people there. And with my images, God gives me an image, and then we talk about the image, and it's just a statement on how I'm feeling, how to just tell the story to let everybody know, like, you know, about what, you know, what I'm trying to express. Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. So you do digital and copyright and AI, you were saying the other day. How interesting.
Yeah, I also had the experience to explore the dark room, and I've got some beautiful images there. So, yeah, well, I've done a bit of Van Dyke, silver gelatin. So... Ooh. Photography is an open door for this world, and a lot of people, as I said, can, you know, tell so much through just one image. And, yeah, so it's a very, very good course, and if you don't like talking and you want to express yourself, I recommend photography, yeah.
Wow, that's a great encouragement. Well, we do know of Ken Duncan, and then I've got friends, Bob and Evelyn McDonald, and they had beautiful photographs, and they've collated it and brought verses of scripture in and devotions and just glorifying God in with the photos, mostly scenes, nature scenes. So I was so glad when you told me you want to put verses of scripture on each photograph.
Yeah, yeah. I actually done an assessment on Ken Duncan.
Oh,
and
okay.
Trent White and Annie Barbara McGrady. Yeah, and their photography are all in different type of photography. So you got journalism, you got fine art, you got landscaping. So yeah, it was so with this course we got to do our assessments on that, and it's a really good it's a really good stepping stone, as I said, like in photography. Yeah.
Beautiful. And you know, you can't learn unless you love the subject. If we like it, we will learn, we can push ourselves. So I can see you doing that. And what's some of your dreams, Tanika? Where would you like the photography to take you?
My final stepping stone in photography would be creating unique images for God's work. Wow. To express His words throughout this world with the unique images, just standing out and being an eye, like just an eye attention to everybody and that. So it's wherever God says yes, that's right there. I want that photo and I want it for this verse. Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I'm so excited for you. Yes, you're listening to God's voice. Well, we're going to take a break and then we're going to come back and Tanika's going to share about becoming a Christian and where she's at now and what Jesus means to her. So don't go away. We want to say hello to all the Awabakal, Waramai, Wanarua, Badaba, Dakanjong and Bedapai people listening in today. This is Mirima for Life. Well, Mama's just said that I could talk to her daughter. So listen, this is our beautiful Rara. And hello, Rara, I'm Auntie Donna. And how old are you?
I'm 11.
11 years old. And Rara, do you love Jesus?
Yeah.
That's so good. And what's one of your favourite Bible stories?
My favourite is Noah's Ark and Moses.
Oh, yes, I love them too. Oh, great.
Majesty, worship His majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom authority flows from His throne unto His own, His anthem raised. Worship His majesty. Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, majesty. Kingdom authority flows from His throne.
Oh, thanks for letting Rara speak to us there, sister. Tanika, tell our listeners, how did you become a Christian and what does Jesus mean to you?
It's always been a belief in our family. My grandfather was a Christian man and a Catholic, and my grandmother was a Church of England. My mother actually went to a Catholic school in Newcastle. So, we did have the topic, but we didn't go to church as much. But as I got older, I started going to church and, you know, sometimes when my aunties used to always say, come to church, it'll be good to see you there and that. So I did attend, but the real truth is it's taken me 40 years to have this strong relationship with God. I had a calling about 2 years ago from God, and he told me to look in the mirror, and I already had my eyes open, and I seen this woman, and it wasn't even me. I didn't even recognize me. I was broken. I was destroyed. I could not even look at myself anymore. And that's when I turned to the Bible, and it was just like I had to study the Bible to find out who I actually really am and what was my purpose on this earth, because I couldn't understand in these 40 years, some things went good for me. Some things didn't go exactly what I wanted as planned. And, you know, we don't make the choices in our lives. It's God that makes the choices.
Yes.
And once I surrendered to God 2 years ago, my whole life has just changed. And I'll never turn back, because I don't make any choices for myself or for my family. It's all God. When I hear the word from God, you know, I just go by his word. And, you know, what Jesus means to me, Jesus, you know, is a person, is my own personal savior.
Yes.
He's, you know, we have a more deeper relationship through God's, you know, work. Jesus has taught me so much about God's strength, his comfort, his guidance, and the unconditional love. He was the only one that ever loved me through my storm. He's the only one that's ever loved me through my joy. So, Jesus is, to me, is the light through my life. Yeah, he's my saviour.
Amen. And I know it's hard talking on radio, it's a bit nervous, but folks, we were talking freely on the weekend, and that's when I asked Tanika, would she come on air and share a testimony, because she's so bubbly. And you were saying, Tanika, that you just want to be an evangelist.
She
just wants to share the word with everyone she comes in contact with the young people. She's not short of, you know, just going up and just loving on them. And that's what God wants, you know, in this world now, right now, this particular 2 weeks. And so, look, I was so encouraged to see you, Tanika, and I know that everything that you want to say and do is to glorify God. So God bless you in that. And you know, it's true, when we read the word, that's where we find our true identity. You know, my issue was I didn't have identity. I was so lost and stolen, you know, generation. But I found out my worth through the word of God, through all of his promises, you know. So you are his beautiful daughter, you're his princess, and he's got a purpose and plan for you. And I'm so excited that I can just stand back and just see your life unfolding as God wants it, as he's purposed and planned. And he's got you placed strategically where you live, in your family, in your TAFE course, you know. And you know, I know that you're going to be going overseas, and your photographs are going to be shown all over the world. And God's promised that to you. He's given you that vision. So we are very excited, and it's so wonderful, Tanika, and you'll raise your little girl in God's ways and never look back. And so we're going to go on a women's camp, and I'm sure that you've got lots to talk and share with the women.
Yes, I do. And all the glory goes to God. Yeah, all the glory goes to God for who I am right now, and standing so strong and firm. Yeah, and just speaking God's word. I really hope that this conversation that we have can help anybody out there that is in need. Because it isn't easy for some people, you know, to change their lives because of, you know, trauma. And
yes,
it's like this world is just getting wicked now, and we just got to stand strong and keep on spreading God's word and doing his work here on earth, honey.
Yes.
And I really hope that with the message that I do pass on in my story, that it does help, you know, other people out there, Arnie.
Yes, it will. You are a beautiful young Aboriginal woman and a leader. And so thank you for sharing with us tonight. Before you go, is there a favourite verse that you'd like to share with us?
I love Exodus. The Lord will fight for you, and you will only be still. I love that one. And my protection one is the whole full of Psalms 91.
Yes.
It's so protection, like such a good protection verse out there for everybody out there.
All right. Well, God bless you. Have all the best with your studies. The word says, study diligently to show yourself approved. You will do well in all of your exams. And, you know, may the Lord give you the desires of your heart, Tanika. I love you, and God bless.
God bless, honey, and God bless the whole nation.
Yes. Well, Tanika's favorite song is My Soul's on Fire. So let's have a listen to this. Thank you, Tanika, for being with us tonight.
God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am my soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am my soul on fire.
return to you again. And Lord, let me burn for you again. Let me return to you again. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart to light up my soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your way. For the day when I am a soul on fire. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire. I wanna be. Till I am a soul.
Yesterday morning, I was sitting and just reading those verses about peace. And I was thinking of that song, Lord, we just need one word, Lord, one word from you. Love that song. And then, you know, I just opened my Bible and my eyes fall down on Isaiah 33, verse 6. And for these troubled times, this is what the Lord gave me. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure.
Here's Hilton Edwards and Susanna Baldwin from Wycliffe Bible Translators.
Indigenous people, as you say, are very comfortable with telling stories and maybe explaining things over more words and sentences than we might use in our very kind of efficient, rushed kind of mode of communication.
English,
that's right.
Yeah.
But in terms of the plain English translation, another factor in that is that in the PEV, we try to avoid abstract nouns, which are those kind of big, complex, abstract words which occur a lot in the Bible, things like grace and faith and salvation and forgiveness. There's a whole lot going on in those big abstract nouns that is just not well understood by people whose first language is not English, and perhaps even for people whose first language is English.
Yeah.
We think we know what those terms mean, but and so in the plain English version, we try and break down those abstract concepts, kind of take the mystic out of them and re-explain them in simple verbal actions that allow people to just be able to understand clearly what is happening when God forgives someone, or what is happening when God shows grace to someone.
Your $20 gives a plain English version of the Bible to an Indigenous Australian today.
In these perilous times, we're praying for peace. We're looking for answers. But the answers will not be found on the Senate floor in the House of Representatives. It's only in the Most High God. We don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. We need a word from the Lord, a word from the Lord, just one word from the Lord will remove soul, to my spirit. Speak, Lord. We need you to speak, Lord. When you speak, Lord, everything will be all right. When you speak, Lord, there will be peace. Yes, there will. Whoa.
Reading from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 40. When the Son of Man comes in his glory with all his angels, he will sit on his royal throne. The people of all nations will be brought before him, and he will separate them as shepherds separate their sheep from their goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "My Father has blessed you. Come and receive the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world was created. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. And when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. And when I was naked, you gave me clothes to wear. When I was sick, you took care of me. And when I was in jail, you visited me." Then the ones who please the Lord will ask, "When did we give you something to eat or drink? When did we welcome you as a stranger? Or when gave you clothes to wear or visit you while you were sick or in jail?" The king will answer, "Whenever you did it for any of my people, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you did it for me." Matthew 25, verse 31 to 40.
I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes. I often slip. I'm just common flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday just why I say that I'm of a special kind. For when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Oh, look of love was on his face, and thorns were
Here's Hilton Edwards and Kathy Dadd from Wycliffe Bible Translators.
Yeah, so people are definitely more naturally thinking about God and spiritual things in their everyday life than I would be and my culture tend to do. And that means that people are often really open to praying. Even people who might not go to church or any fellowship activities would be very happy for you to pray for them. People also think about the spiritual reasons behind things, and that means that they're thinking about how God is acting in different situations and what that might mean, and they're working out what the Bible says about how they should think about different things in their lives.
Your $20 gives a plain English version of the Bible to an Indigenous Australian today.
I'm Sharon Lower. You can call me Sherry. I'm from Alice Springs. I'm into art. I love doing art. I do a lot of jobs. I don't have a career. Jesus is my career. He gets me the jobs. So I'm totally laid my life down for him. I'm sold out for him. I do a lot of ministry work, prayer and worship and evangelism. Do Bible studies with a group of people. Do children's ministries. Jesus is my everything. He's my lifeline. He's my life source. I can't live without Jesus. Many years ago, I used to get pneumonia every year and I'd be like bedridden for months. I wouldn't be able to get out of bed and my mum would have to look after me like I was a little baby. You know, they had no beds in the hospital, so I'd be at home and I was very, very sick. I kept praying and going to church, you know, seek the Lord for healing, and because I know that Jesus is the healer. The Lord just miraculously just delivered me and set me free from pneumonia. I don't get pneumonia. I haven't had pneumonia in over 13 to 14 years, I've been totally set free from it. I'm very passionate about God's creativity. Like, we're sitting here in the Todd Riverbed in Alice Springs, and we've got the Gap Hills behind us. And I look at that every day, and I can see how Yahweh, God, He's created all of this. Our God is such an artist and He's made this. He's created everything. He's created the land. He's given the land to the First Nations people, the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, to be caretakers, custodians, to look after the place. You know, that's one of our responsibilities. And I think it's just really awesome. I'm passionate about the destiny of this country. Not only the foundations, what it was founded on, but also where we're at now and the destiny to come and where the Lord's taking Australia prophetically, the great south land of the Holy Spirit. I get very much excited about that and other people's destinies and their plans and futures that I can see, but God shows me the gifts in them and that, and I really believe in that, and I believe in them as well, and I love to encourage that and bring out the best in them. And I just want to see the best for not only Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, but for our nation in general, for everybody, the plans and purposes that God has for them. We're getting Indigenous apostolic and prophetic leaders, men and women, to really come forward and start leading this nation the way that God wants to lead the nation. And also with the children don't miss out because it's one spirit, it's one God. And so the children come with us. So we all go together as one big family, just leading in what God wants to do in this nation. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in this nation are the voice of Australia, the now voice, the current voice, the prophetic voice. Because we are a prophetic people. There has to be an allowance for opportunities for us to be able to do that in our local churches, in our local regions, nationally as well. So there needs to be that sort of endorsement and that encouragement and a trust that comes from and non-Indigenous brothers and sisters to allow us to be able to take and present the gospel of Jesus Christ further for His kingdom to come. And that's part of the destiny. Some great leaders have come out of this nation. I come from a family of leadership. Charles Perkins, he's my grandfather, that's my mother's uncle. Koike Mabo, Eddie Mabo, that's my cousin. My uncle Harold Thomas Jr., that's my mum's cousin, he created the Aboriginal flag. The Torres Strait Islander flag, which was created and designed by Bernard Namick Sr., is my cousin. So we come from a family of leadership. But what I can see, what God's doing with Indigenous people in this nation, it's like if they turn to Him and surrender to Him and do it His way, He will do it for us. We won't have to strive. We won't have to do things the hard way, the way that the world does it. God's going to do it for us. And I saw that recently in Canberra. We were part of a group that went to Canberra to do the Uluru Bark Petition. And it was about what we recognise as traditional marriage between man and woman, because that's always been in our society, and also to stand for God's word. And as we walked into Parliament House and you could see the pillars and that, I had such a revelation of what it was like to be Esther coming before the King with the petition on behalf of our people, not only Indigenous, but on behalf of the nation, and the favour and God's grace that was on our people on that day. And that's the difference between trying to do things the hard way and win your own strength, to doing it God's way and in His way with that grace and with that favour. He will pour out the grace, He will pour out the favour if our people go that way. And there's more blessing in it. I just love spending time with God. I just love praying. I love worshipping Him. I love thanking Him. I just love Him being around. I just love doing things with God, for God. Jesus, Yeshua, He's real. He's real. He's a Saviour. He's our Lord. He can heal you, He can deliver you, He can set you free. He's our protector, He's our provider, He's everything you need when you tap into Him, when you go His way. And He's waiting for His people to turn back to Him, because He's coming back for a glorious church. And He wants people to be ready, you know? And that's what He's saying, especially to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. You've got to be ready. Be ready. No matter where you're at in your life, there's something missing in your life. And the only one that can fill that void, fill that emptiness, is Jesus, the Lord Jesus, because he's loving, He's full of grace, He's full of mercy, and He loves people. He loves everybody, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing. You could be a drug addict, you could be a drunk, like you think there's no hope. But where there's no hope, there's always hope. The Lord's the only way out, you know, if you follow Him and keep hearing His voice. And He's calling His people now. He's getting them ready. He's calling His bride. He's getting them ready. The body of believers is His bride. And we're waiting for the bridegroom to come back, and He's preparing His bride. I truly believe that what the Lord is saying to this nation now, and especially to the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, is that they need to rise up and stand in the authority that God has given them as apostolic and prophetic leaders, to really take on that mantle, that mandate, and really become a voice for this nation. And He's saying to the nation, especially to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord shines on you. And our people really need to rise up. You know, we're glorious ones, and we carry presence of the Lord wherever we go. He's just waiting for us to really rise up. It's already started, but there's more to come. We should be praying all the time, because the Bible says, you know, pray without ceasing. But prayer and fasting, you know, it's what changes people's hearts. It's what changes a nation. When Alice Springs region got involved with the 40 days of prayer and fasting last year, we noticed a difference, a spiritual difference in the area, because people had been praying and fasting. And it really impacts a nation. If you want to be a history maker, a history changer, and the key to revival is to pray and to fast for your nation. If you really love your nation and you really love Jesus and you want to see a change in your nation, in your region, and all that, prayer and fasting is the way to go. And the only way that you can change and impact is when our people rise up and stand together in unity as one, and stand with our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters and those who've come from other countries that are believers as well, that we have one mind and one spirit. It's time to really rise up and really start moving and making a difference in this nation.
You've been listening to Miramar for Life. Thank you for your company. God bless you. And remember, brothers and sisters, there's always room at the cross for one more. There's room for you. I love you. God bless.